Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
How do you describe it, Ray? How do you describe it going out as a champion?
It's simple. When God is for you, who can be against you?
Should scouting be open to gays?
Yes.
Why so?
Well, because I think that, you know, my attitude is that gays and lesbians should have access and opportunity the same way everybody else does in every institution and walk of life.
When God sees you, he doesn't see you as that woman who had the abortion or that man who paid for the abortion. He sees you exactly as he sees the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased.
Wisconsin turkey producers love issues, etc.
Well, the story isn't new. It's been around for a while, and the story has had a few bumps, ups, and downs here. The Boy Scouts of America, at first entertaining the possibility of dropping its ban on gays in the membership and the leadership, and then deciding recently, well, maybe not so fast. Why? Is there a religion connection? Is there a religion angle to that story? Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org is going to join us for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, February the 8th, and thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live. A little bit later, we'll be talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. He's written an excellent article on the doctrine and the practice of closed communion. Yes, closed with a D. Not with an apostrophe D or not with the parentheses D, but closed communion, the ancient practice of the church. Daniel Blomberg, of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty will be our guest a little bit later. We'll talk about a legal perspective on a revision to the HHS contraceptive mandate. It's Issues Etc. comment line following that. We'll respond to some of your comments. And then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week live this Friday afternoon, February the 8th. We play four soundbites. You listen. And then after you've listened to those four soundbites, you get to call, email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. And we'll give away the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. on Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad to the listener with the best vote during Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Bobby Ross Jr. is a regular guest. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, on the story of the Boy Scouts of America and their possibility of changing their restrictions on homosexuals in leadership and membership, what's the latest? Bring us up to date.
Well, the National Board or National Council of the Boy Scouts met in the Dallas area on Wednesday to kind of talk about whether to revise the policy and allow gay members and gay leaders, and they came back out and told the media that they had decided to delay a decision until May because of the large amount of feedback that they've received from their membership all over the country, that they needed more time to consider the issue and look at all the angles.
Well, that's not really unexpected. You do say, however, that CNN, in its coverage of this, was perhaps alone in finding a really interesting angle here. What was it?
Well, it was interesting and also maybe not interesting in a good way from a journalistic perspective, is that they kind of took the fact that the Mormons have 15% of the scouts and troops that they sponsor and kind of wondered, was there some kind of conspiracy involving Mormons asking the Boy Scouts to put off this decision without a whole lot of evidence or any evidence at all to make that link or have anybody official make that question? They just kind of threw it out there themselves. And for speculation, more of a tabloid style approach than what you might expect of a mainstream media coverage, straight news kind of approach.
Does this story, just the bare story of the Boy Scouts of America considering making this decision and then essentially tabling that decision for a couple of months, does that have an intrinsically religious angle to it in your estimation?
I think so, because, I mean, obviously the Boy Scouts, I think their own statistics show that 70% of the sponsoring organizations for their troops are religious organizations. I mentioned the Mormons are up top, but then the United Methodists and Catholics have a large number of troops that they sponsor as well, as, you know, along with many other religious groups, many of them conservative-type Christian denominations, but also probably some that would be considered more mainline.
And if it weren't only for that, you also note that the public contemplation of changing their policy really did bring about a lot of reaction from official church organizations, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's ranging from the Mormons who are saying we're not going to really go and say anything publicly until they've made a decision, to other groups that are, you know, like the Assemblies of God. I think of one example where their national, I think he's called the superintendent, but I can't remember exactly what they call their national leader, had come out and said that this would basically be a travesty if the Boy Scouts went back on their long tradition of holding to the more traditional Christian beliefs on the issue of homosexuality and all that. And, you know, some, you know, I think some Southern Baptist leaders have said similar things. You know, then there have been other religious groups that have had more nuanced responses and more responses along the lines of this, you know, we may believe that homosexuality is a sin, but we don't believe that a group such as the Boy Scouts should be making that kind of decision for people, and that given that it's in some ways a group, you know, they think it should be a group open to everybody as opposed to individual churches kind of infringing on who can be a member based on sexual orientation.
And how did the media coverage do in covering kind of the grassroots reaction to this? Because you have statements from religious leaders, you have concerns expressed by other organizations that may or may not have an association with the Boy Scouts. What about the grassroots?
I saw a little bit of grassroots coverage. The Dallas Morning News quoted, I think, a pastor from East Texas who was at there was a rally of people, I guess, protesting the possibility of changing the policy there in Texas. They interviewed him and a few others about their perspective. The New York Times, if I recall, interviewed a lesbian woman who was a former Cub Scout troop leader and had maybe lost her position because of her sexual orientation. So there was a little bit of grassroots coverage, but, you know, most of it's pretty ho-hum kind of gay rights spokesmen and conservative Christian leaders, and, you know, not a lot of surprises as far as, you know, what everybody said both before and after the decision was made. A lot of it was pretty boilerplate kind of stuff as far as the reactions and the news coverage of it.
So is there anything missing, glaringly missing, from the coverage of the story so far as it's unfolded?
No, not glaringly missing. What I would love to see is, you know, the Associated Press actually had a story like this earlier in the week where they did kind of compare two families, one family that will take their sons out of the Boy Scouts if they allow gay leaders and members, and another family that has a gay son and who's been welcomed into a troop, even, you know, kind of hush-hush, maybe, you know, a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, and would like to have more openness in his troop. You know, I guess, you know, that kind of thing where you actually meet real people and see their perspective, because it's so easy for this to just be each side with the talking points and not, you know, get into the real nitty-gritty of what ordinary real people think about it and how it affects them and their lives and their position with the Boy Scouts.
Turning to another story, and this is a kind of an interesting piece that you noted, a first-person Huffington Post piece of a kind of an unlikely friendship involving the story that was so big a couple months ago about Dan Cathy, the president of Chick-fil-A. Tell us what the story is.
Well, the story is Dan Cathy at some point befriended Shane Windmeyer, who's the head of Campus Pride, which is a national gay rights organization for campus type organizations, or for university campuses, and somehow they became friends, and And Winmeyer wrote a piece for the Huffington Post about this where he kind of basically describes how the friendship developed and how he came to see Dan Cathy as more than just this Christian bigot who hates homosexuals, but he came to see him more as a follower of Christ who has his beliefs about what the Bible teaches, but is also more human. You know, they got to know each other on a human level, and he basically didn't see Dan Cathy the same way once he got to know him as he did when they were both just talking points in this gay rights fight over Chick-fil-A and some of the contributions that Chick-fil-A has made to various groups.
And in your estimation here with about a minute, how did the rest of the mainstream media pick up on what seems to be a pretty obvious religious angle in this little story?
Well, they kind of latched on to the issue of Chick-fil-A's sales and number of stores growing last year, even though this controversy occurred last year. And, you know, in the stories I read, like the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Los Angeles Times kind of mentioned the Huffington Post piece and Winmeyer and Dan Cathy becoming friends. But, you know, it was like two or three paragraphs, and it's hard to catch the real flavor of what happened and the real humanity in such short bits and pieces in a news story. So in some ways, the coverage was a little disappointing.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back a little bit later in the program, we'll just actually carry this through the rest of the hour. We're going to have a conversation with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. I was struck by something he wrote recently. It was an insight that I had not considered before about the doctrine and the practice of closed communion. Now, this is a historic practice of the church going back to the time of the apostles, where the boundary of fellowship is drawn very closely around the communion rail, who communes and who does not. Well, Pastor McCain says, among Lutherans, the reasons we're not practicing that is because maybe we don't believe what we say we believe about the Lord's Supper. We'll talk about that right after this.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.